All right. Thank you, Leah. We'll find when we look back that what she was just singing is going to be so true. In fact, the older some of us get, not me, but some of you, you can look back now and see that. Amen. Oh, we certainly can. I want you to go to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. We're going to look a few verses in chapter 3 tonight, book of Malachi. And if you get past the fourth chapter, you've gone too far. You'll hit the blank. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, we'll look at verses maybe 1 through 6. The last verse, verse 6, says, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the thought that you can't change God. Better go ahead and read it before I get to talking too much. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. We know that's John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now, this morning I pointed out the gap to you in the book of Ezekiel. Here's the gap showing up again between verse 1 and 2 in the text that we're reading right now. The church age exists between these two comings. This last coming is, but who may abide the day of his coming? That's when he comes back in judgment. That's when he comes back to rule and reign, to set up his kingdom. And it says, and who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. And you know that involves the fire and so forth. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And get those last words there, an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant. He's talking about a day coming when their offerings will be right. Pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. You know, all the psalmist cried out, God, you know, don't you know how bad they're doing? When are you going to take vengeance and so forth? Well, here he says he is. He says, I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord. And he got the capital letters in the word Lord again, like we looked at this morning, very close in English to the real secret name of God. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, or Israel, are not consumed. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit on this thought. You're hearing a lot about the word change in the politicians' talks and so forth. And we need a change, because the last change like to kill us that we got. Amen. But anyway, change can sometimes be good. Sometimes it's bad. Too much in the world changes for the worse, but every now and then maybe something for the good. I remember when I was hot rod race car driver, it was a really revolutionary thing when we come out with what we called a quick change rear axle. Very expensive, but you could take, I'm talking to you mechanics now, the rest of you don't have to listen. You could take one of those long crank handles, what do they call it, speed handles, and you could go on the back of that race car, and very quickly you could take off the cover off the back rear axle, and rein gear and pinion, and you had two axles sticking out there like that when you took the cover off, and you had a box of gears over here, and you had them numbered. You knew how many teeth was on each one and so forth, and you could put the gears on the two shafts, and they'd mesh together, and you could change the whole gear ratio of your race car, and you could do it in 5 minutes. And I mean, most anybody could do it in 5 minutes. And it made a whole lot of difference with your RPM and the size track you're on. So that was a good change, amen. It was a revolutionary thing when we got a hold of that. Change can sometimes be good, sometimes it can be dangerous. I think about the lady that was feeling pretty low and getting kind of sickly, and she didn't think she had much more time. She talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord told her after she prayed, said, I'm going to give you 20 more years. She said, oh, 20 more years. So she went to the she went to the plastic surgeon. She got several things fixed. She started exercising a little bit. She started eating right. Finally, she went to the beauty saloon. Salon, all right, I know, but I like to fun around some. And she got all that big hairdo fixed. She was feeling good. She stepped out, overstepped the curb, and a bus hit her and killed her. She stood before the Lord and she said, Lord, you told me I had 20 more years. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. Now, some change can be dangerous, amen. Go too far with it. All right, Sunday night, amen. In the context here of the scripture, we got two comments. John the Baptist is a forerunner, of course. The Lord Jesus, you can argue that he came to the temple as a baby. You could argue that he's coming back to the rebuilt temple, but he's also warned that he's coming back in vengeance. He's coming back in the day of the Lord. And he's the one, as you read in the few verses here, that's made a covenant with Israel. Now, Israel was in bad shape when you get to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. You find what's often referred to as the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew. In a truth, they were not silent. Daniel had prophesied what would happen really all the way through the 400 years. But God said, all right, I said it. That's enough. You don't need to hear from me anymore. They'd gotten so bad. I'm talking about his nation. I'm talking about the Jews. I'm talking about where he accuses them in the book of Malachi of not bringing the tithe in, of not even closing the house of God, closing the doors unless they got paid for it. They were in a bad, backslidden condition, and God is saying that to them in the book of Malachi here. And yet he's telling them of a time that he's going to get them right. He's telling them of a time when your offerings will be right again, when they'll be pleasant in my sight. He's telling them of a time that I'm going to come back and fix things because he had a covenant with them. Now, I need to understand something. Much of the history of the world, of the nations, has been to try to prevent God from keeping his covenant with Israel. What we don't understand sometimes, the golden age, the 1,000-year reign, is going to have more to do with Israel maybe than even us. The New Jerusalem is coming down for God's people, but Israel was promised all the way through the Old Testament a kingdom. That's the reason that Jesus, when he walked on this earth, you know what the disciples and all of them kept bugging him about? Was, Lord, when are you going to bring in the kingdom? And they knew they'd been promised the kingdom. And they were looking forward to it, and he had promised it. But you see, they had not kept their end of the bargain, and they had sinned, and they had gone into idol worship, and had done all that. Yet he had a covenant with them. And so when you get down and you wonder why in the world through history the nations hated Israel so much, persecuted the Jews so much, that's what's behind it, a satanic hate to mess up God's plan and God's covenant with the Jews. Read your history. Spain, even England, Germany, of course, Russia, of course. You look through history and see how they persecuted the Jew. Even America in World War II could have done a little better than we did. We kind of turned our head when we knew they were being burned in the ovens. We didn't know how bad it was, but we knew that Hitler was trying to get rid of the Jews. He didn't make any secret of it. I mean, it was publicized. At one time, they were on a ship, and no nation would let them make port. No nation would let them land, and they ultimately wound up back, and many of them wound up in the ovens in Germany because no nation would accept a shipload of Jews. Study it out. We had our part in that to some degree also. But Satan has led man to do one thing in a big way, and of course it's many things we'll see it in, but Satan has led man to attempt to interrupt God's plans, change anything God said was right and make it wrong if he could. All that God has ever established. Well, he started in the garden, didn't he say, with the word of God, yea, hath God said? Put a question mark on the word of God. And from that time on, and it's easy to see him still trying to change everything that God has established. Think about the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, what do you have in Israel's folly? You have them going after other gods. Moses is up on the mount. He's getting the Ten Commandments. He comes down. He and Joshua comes down, and they begin to hear the noise. And Joshua says, I hear a noise down in the camp. It's not for those that are being defeated. It's not for those that are getting victory in the war. And it was a big party going on. And what were they doing? They were dancing around the golden calf. In this period that Moses was up there, they were trying to switch gods and go to the wrong God. A major change, if you were to flip over to Jeremiah chapter 2 and pick it up in about verse 11, listen to this accusation by God against Israel. Jeremiah says, half a nation, verse 11, chapter 2, half a nation changed their gods. Ask the question, half a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. What have they done? A nation trying to change gods. Let me say that's where we're at tonight in America. Yes. Trying to change gods. We've been doing it now for years. I was reading this week in the Tennessee schools in White County, Tennessee, how that the parents are very upset because in that, and this is a Bible Belt state now, and in White County, Tennessee, they've allowed the Muslim hierarchy to get in and bring their curriculum inside the public school, and the school board is actually fighting to keep it there against the parents. That's America? Well, that's a change of gods. Trying to change the Lord God Jehovah for Muhammad's Allah, moon god. Isn't that amazing that we're seeing that today? But you are seeing it. Nancy Pelosi. Now, don't spit when you say that, but how many of you know who I'm talking about? Nancy Pelosi spoke, one of the speakers at the National Prayer Breakfast, most recent. And, you can imagine. But she compared Islam and Allah and the Muslims favorably with Christianity. I'm talking about a nation trying to change their gods. That's what I'm talking about. We've seen it going on. We've seen a change to try to take away the Creator, and He is the Creator. Amen. And tell us we evolved, and tell our kids in school that we evolved. The psalmist said, "It is He that made us, and not we ourselves." Amen. And the truth of the matter is, all the evidence shows that we have a Creator. Right. And all this invention of trying to imagine that we came like a tadpole from under a rock and split up into all the diversity of life that the world had. Listen, you talk about faith. It takes faith to believe that. Amen. A guy said to me one time, "Well, I'm evolutionist." I said, "Well, I don't have that much faith." He didn't hardly know how to handle that. The truth of the matter is, it takes more to believe that junk than the fact that I'm important enough that the Creator of the universe made me and cared for me and knows about me and has a plan for me. Amen. But Israel tried to change their God. We're seeing in America today trying to change from a Creator to evolution and all of that. But I was reading a testimony this week of a medical doctor pretty high up. And this is so true, and young people, listen to me. He was in a church that taught the Bible as a kid. He knew the gospel. He did not go real deep in the word, but like most kids, he had a working knowledge of what the church believed and his parents believed and his Sunday school teacher believed. But he got into higher education. He wanted to be a medical doctor, and he made one and still at it and still doing good. But I read his testimony. He said, I was always bothered by everything I was learning, and all my colleagues, all of them, speaking as though there was no God, and the Bible was just a fairy tale book. And he said, all the time deep in here, what I learned in Sunday school, I couldn't get away from. And he said, I finally decided that I was going to get to the truth and get rid of my doubts. And he said, of all things, I went back and started studying the Bible. He said, the first thing I started studying was what the Bible said about itself, that it was the Word of God. Anyway, to get to the bottom line of his testimony, he told how he come back into a strong faith. He's still a medical doctor. He still understands a bunch of scientific things, but he now measures it by the truth, by the Word of God. And it's too bad, but I see so many get out of Christian school, get out and get in the world and have their faith destroyed, and hopefully many of them will come back. Not all of them will, in the sense of ever amounting to anything for God, but you better get a hold of it. It's the devil's plan to change what God has already established, is what it amounts to. God made it all. He made us. By the way, he made the climate too. Did you know that our attorney general that President Obama appointed, he and her both have gone to the FBI to find out if they could prosecute people like me that speak against climate change? So much for the freedom of speech, huh? To be against those that are trying to say, we don't believe in your climate change. We don't believe it's man-made change. We believe God's always been changing. He'll change it when he wants to, any way he wants to. But he's made a promise that'll last to the end. The seasons will come and go to the end. But can you imagine going to the FBI to see if they can prosecute, shut up, people like myself? Change what God has established. God wants to be the God of America like he was in our founding. Amen. The psalmist said in 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. But God says he honors them that honor him. Yeah. In our history, we've had the blessing of God on us, and God would like to hold that position, but we're the ones that have asked him to leave. We're the ones as a nation trying to change our God. Our forefathers knew who the Lord God was. It's in all our documents. It's pledged to the flag. Even if you look at your car tag in Florida, don't it say something about God on it? Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden we got all the evidence around us that our forefathers believed in the Lord, trusted in the Lord? It is amazing. By the way, out in San Diego, California, land of fruit and nuts. Amen. Out there in San Diego, the city employees have been told they can no longer use the word forefathers. Freedom of speech again? No longer use the name forefathers. Isn't that amazing? It's a bad word now. It's amazing. By the way, what Trump is upsetting them is he is not going by the rules. He's not politically correct. I expect to see him killed on TV anytime. And I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with his terminology, but I am enjoying the fire out of him disturbing the establishment. Amen. Upsetting them, amen? Not politically correct. But look at the tactics now that are going to be used against him. They're going to bring in every kind of mob to shut him down from talking. Is that American? No, it's not supposed to be. It's communism. They can't stand the truth. Shut down. I said it this morning. I'm not so senile. I don't know what I said this morning, but some of you were not listening. They want to kill the messenger because they don't like the messenger. And that's exactly what you're seeing. Veto by mob rule is what it amounts to. And so what the plan is right now, and I saw just a little bit of it on the news this afternoon, they're going to send the crowd in. They're going to spit on folks. They're going to curse folks. In many cases, hit folks. And then when somebody hits them back, then they're the bad guy for hitting back. Yeah. I got news for you. That's not good old-fashioned Americanism. Somebody says, if somebody hits you, won't you turn the cheek? Pray I will, but don't trust me too much. Amen? Yeah. And I mean, there's just some common sense that's involved. And I'm seeing all that stuff going on, and it is amazing to me. And by the way, the most danger of somebody being killed, assassinated, is from the left, not the right. Amen. The most danger in this country is from the ultra-leftists that want to shut up and take away free speech and take away old-fashioned Americanism, and that's what's going on today. And you see it in the political contest, but it was going on a long time before that. It was going on in the streets where they marched and claimed they wanted to see the police fried like bacon. You did see that, didn't you? A few of you did, a few of you. You probably didn't get it on O'Farrell as the stomach turns on the soap operas. So you probably didn't get it there. But it's been in the news. The attack on the police, attacked on good old-fashioned right stuff. I'm telling you, folks, God established some stuff. He'd like to bless the nation of Israel. That's what the text was about. He'd like to bless the nation of America. I appreciate Billy Graham's daughter, whatever her first name is. The wife's name was Ruth. I forget what the daughter's name is. I thought one of you'd say it, but you're still watching the wrong stuff. Anyway, Billy Graham's daughter, after the 9/11 towers fell and the planes flew into them, they had her on a talk show. And they said, the news people, the talking heads, ask her, where was God? Why didn't he save us from these planes flying in the towers? She said he was a perfect gentleman. He had been asked to leave our nation, so he left. Yeah. He wasn't around. She nailed it, brother. Exactly what we were reaping. No doubt about it. But you know what? God's established some things. How about today? Did God establish marriage? Didn't he put the first couple together in the garden? Didn't he say in Matthew 19 that he made them male and female? Yes. Didn't he say that what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder? Didn't he establish marriage? Of course he did. What do we got today? An attack on what God established. Right. To try to destroy the institution of marriage. And even to the place of mixing up the genders to where men can go in the women's room. And they're doing that, folks. They're already doing that. The Supreme Court judge just died that's thrown all the fuss into the news. Anton Scalia, however you say it, he was a good one. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say something. He stated after the marriage decision for the gays to get married, he said, we're destroying America. You read what he said. He said, we're destroying our nation. He's saying that's the foundation being destroyed. It makes me wonder, did he die of natural death or not? Now, I'm just talking. I got a right to think that. In fact, I got a right to say that so far. So far. They found him in the bed by himself in that particular place with a pillow over his face. Interesting. They did not do an autopsy. Interesting. And I tell you what they're wanting to replace him with the biggest liberal they can find. Because there's decisions coming up before the Supreme Court that will reach down and affect our lives just like some of these last ones have. Amen. Oh yeah, folks, whatever God established, the devil is using sinner man to change it if he can. I'll change the order of the home. The Bible lines it up. Men, you're supposed to be the head of the house. Ladies, you're supposed to be in obedience to your husband. I've had marriages for 45 years, and I married a few before I got here as pastor. I've only had one lady in all that time said to me, I don't want you to say love, cherish, and obey. Leave out the obey. I said, get you another preacher. I won't do it. And it was funny to me because I went to the wedding. It was church members. I went to the wedding. And the other preacher, Baptist preacher, promised he wouldn't say when it come to the woman's vows, love, cherish, and obey, he'd leave off obey. But see, he had a good habit, and when he got there, he forgot. Truth. And he said it. I just sit there and chuckle. While some folks cry at weddings, that was a funny wedding to me. I thought, bless God, God wouldn't let him compromise even though he planned to. Amen. I still laugh about it. But the devil wants to change the order of the home. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he does. He wants the kids to grow up not knowing which one they ought to follow. That's why we got a lot of kids growing up thinking they're homosexual. Because what has happened there, they've got mixed up on who is the authority figure in the house. Help yourself. It's Sunday night, and I'll unload and get through, and we'll all go home in a minute. And I'm going to say to kids, God's plan is for you to honor mom and dad. Honor them. That means respect them. Obey them. Are they wrong sometimes? Yeah, but you are more wrong if you don't follow them and obey them. We have a Christian school, and through the years, I've learned a lot. I've had parents come to school blaming us for the problems with the kids, and all the kids are doing in most cases is acting here like they act at home. Help yourself. If they're disrespectful at home, they'll be disrespectful in the schoolroom. If they're saying things they shouldn't at home, they'll say them in the schoolroom. Get quiet all you want to. Christian families, listen to me. You're responsible if you don't train them right at home to show respect to a teacher, show respect to a policeman, show respect for authority. You will reap it sooner or later. It'll turn on you. Amen. See, God has a plan. It's always the best. But whatever God's established, the devil wants to tear it down. He wants to change it. He wants to put a question mark on it. Now, I've listed some things, and I could have listed a lot more, quite a bit more. But now let's think about it. All these changes for the wrong, tearing down what God has established, there's consequences to it. Now, if I go back down the whole list, and I'm going to do that quickly here, what's the end result of destroying what God's established? How about wrong gods? How about the nation changing its gods? Well, what are we reaping in the school right now? Aren't we teaching them that they came from monkeys? Are we surprised they act like monkeys? Aren't we teaching them there is no God to answer to? So why are we shocked when they fear nothing? No fear of God? That's a consequence of changing the gods. Consequence of not making him creator. Trying to let the creature be the boss, worshiping the creature instead of the creator. You know what we have? We have nature worship. We have tree huggers. We have turtle savers. We have those that mourn the whales. By the way, they stopped Disney World from playing with the whales. Now, I could care less. I never went to the show. But it's too bad to see this crazy, this pantheism, this so-called creature worshiping group that can do what they can do. Got PETA, whatever it is, for protection of the animals. By the way, when I went home today at lunch, before I walked in the house, I walked around behind my garage, and you know what I saw? I saw a great big rat that had gotten in a trap and was wearing a wire collar. I would tell you I set the trap, but that could endanger me. See? He's still there unless something got him since I left. I didn't have time to mess with him. But I know some people that got arrested for trapping a rat. Some that got almost charged because they killed a rattlesnake. I'm talking about worshiping the creature more than the creator. I'm talking about changing what God established and going to this crazy stuff that you hear about. And by the way, the one that got arrested for killing the rat, they took him all the way to court. The bureaucrats, the authorities, the ones living off tax money, doing nothing. They took him to court, but the judge was old-fashioned enough, he kicked it out. And thank God he did. But I'm saying to you, the consequence of worshiping the creature. You got the EPA today running the economy for a business all across the land, and that's what it's all about. You see, the consequences of not having our God as our nation's God, so then what's the result? The result is exactly what you're seeing today, the Trojan horse of Islam and other false cults moving in. Our public school in many places, I'm talking about, and it's state controlled, and I'm not blaming local teachers. I'm saying every local teacher that can ought to defy some of the laws that are coming down about what they ought to teach in the room if they can get by with it. We're coming up on Easter. Years ago, I'm talking about in the early years of our Christian school. I'm not even sure I was going through senior high. Maybe I only had grades up to 7th or 8th. And I had a young married woman come to me, and she said, "Preacher, would you happen to have an opening in your Christian school?" She said, "I just got fired." I said, "Fired from what?" She said, "From my teaching job with the school." And I could probably remember her name if I tried, and it was a local school. It wasn't far from here. Elementary school. It was around Easter time. I did hire her. She finished out the year for me. It was a good Christian teacher. She got fired because it was getting close to Easter, and people were putting bunny rabbits and eggs on the bulletin boards in their classroom, and they'll do that. That's the pagan side. That comes from Babylon. That didn't come from the Bible. That didn't come from Jesus. Amen. Rabbits and eggs. But she knew what Easter was about. So on her bulletin board, she painted an open tomb with a rock rolled back. And they fired her over that. I'm talking about 40 years ago. If you think it was bad then, what do you think it is now? 40 years ago that happened? And listen, folks, we've come to that time to try to destroy everything that God has stood for. And go down the list. Remove the nation's gods and you get a godless nation. You change to false gods. Do you understand that if Islam comes in and takes over like they're planning to?
Yes, sir.
Brother, you talk about some bad stuff happening. I taught a little bit on it on Wednesday night. It's going to be bad. Then I talk about marriage. God instituted marriage. I say if that's destroyed, then you wind up with perverts.
Yep.
You wind up with dysfunctional families, parents and kids. And kids, as I already said it, raised to where they don't even know what gender they are or claim they don't. Bunch of stuff. But the consequences of tearing down what God said is right. Now, Isaiah said there'd be a time come, and we're in it, when they'd call evil good and good evil. That's where we're at right now.
Amen.
But you know what the verse said here? I read verse 6. God changes not. Change all of it till you hurt. Change and reap the consequences, but you hadn't moved God any. God hadn't said, "Uh-oh, I wish I hadn't made that first commandment or that seventh commandment. I wish, because the majority don't like it." He don't go by the polls. He goes by what he knows is right, and he don't change. He don't change. God changes not. You know, His requirements have never changed. His standard of perfection to be saved has never changed. Did you know that? Oh, you got all kind of religions that's invented another way to heaven, but God hadn't accepted any of them. He has His own way, and that way is His Son that He offered on the cross of Calvary. And He talked to him here about making a righteous offering, a pleasant offering to the Lord. Do you know what that righteous offering is? You know what that covenant is? It was that God himself would come as the Messiah and die for our sins. It says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. That was God's plan back then. He fulfilled it when Christ come. It's his plan, and you're not going to change it. Amen. He changes not. He changes not. Jesus came to be our propitiation. That word you find in Romans chapter 3, and you ought to get a little bit of an understanding on it. Romans chapter 3, pick it up in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that one, don't we? But watch. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now that's the offering. That's the blood on the mercy seat. See what I read? A propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's God's offering. That's God's perfection. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven is to have a propitiation on the mercy seat, a blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sins. God's not going to change that plan. That's it. That's it. You know, all kind of substitutes are offered. Man attempts it all the time, but it's not going to work. God's not going to accept it. It's the blood. I don't like that. It don't sound good. It'd still be the answer when you get there. You don't have an answer if you don't have that answer. Amen. God's not going to change it for you. He's not going to change his plan. Amen. I heard the story. I guess it was World War II. I'm sorry about this coughing tonight. Get it right in a minute, hopefully. Probably clear up when I don't need my voice anymore tonight. I heard this story out of World War II. You remember our soldier boys had to go and fight in the islands, and with the Japanese in particular. Jungle, many of them, jungle islands. One particular situation, a number of our soldiers was killed in a platoon, but one of them survived in the jungle for a long time. His clothes had pretty well tattered off of him. His hair had grown long. His beard was long as he lived off of whatever he could get to eat. But finally the day come that he knew that a ship had landed on the other side of the island, and he was going to slip through and cross the island to see if it was the U.S. or the enemy. He crawled on through the jungle, and finally one night came to the clearing. And he realized it's Americans. Well, he come out of the jungle hollering almost like a wild man, but the sentry stepped up with a rifle. And he told him to halt. What is the password? You can't come any further without the password. The guy said, I don't know the password. He said, well, my orders are to shoot you. And the guy tried out talking best he could, but he looked so bad and all in the dark. The sentry said, I'm going to have to shoot you. That's my orders. And he raised his gun. That man had been surviving in the jungle all that time, said, would you give me 1 minute to pray? And the guy said, yeah, just 1 minute. He dropped to his knees and he said, Lord, you know I got saved when I was young, but Lord, you know when I got in the army, I quit living for you. You know, Lord, I haven't treated you right. And I know that it's going to be fearful to face you. But, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me, to forgive me before I face you. And the sentry lowered his rifle. And he said, come on in. You just said the password, blood. I'll tell you something. When I step up to heaven's door, that angel raises a sword and says, what's the password? I'm going to know it. I'm not going to plead my goodness. I'm not going to plead somebody else's plan of salvation. I'm going to say it's the blood. It's the blood. And I'm going to go in because His blood covers my sin. Don't change it. You can't. Just accept it. That's all you can do. Tonight, if you're here or in radio land, you're not saved. You better get your sins under the blood because God changes not. Amen. Father, may You bless the invitation. Lord, whatever You've spoken to somebody, maybe out in radio land, maybe halfway around the world because of the technology we have today. I don't know. But dear God, I pray You'd bless Your word. You've promised it wouldn't return void. We claim that promise. I ask You'd bless here in our midst, in our own hearts tonight, on a Sunday night here in Your house, that we'd recognize no matter how the world tries to tear down what You've